7 minutes after 11 o'clock. You ever had duck confit? Oh, spectacular. The duck is so fatty, and what we do is we cook it. We take duck and in its own fat, we cook it in its own fat. It is spectacular. I think last time I had it at Inn on the 20. They got that restaurant over on Inn on the 20.
No, oh, I love Inn on the 20.
But the restaurant there, yes. Probably Restaurant on the 20. I forget what its name is. I had duck confit there, and it was spectacular.
Succulent is the word, Tom.
Yeah. Peking duck.
Ooh, he looks so cute on the plate.
Look at him with his little beak.
We took a selfie together.
Who would you rather eat? Donald Duck or Daffy Duck? Oh, we're moving on. Duck is a spectacular bird, though.
Donald's probably a little more...
I don't know. He looks like he's got a little more something to
him. Fit.
I think he's got a little extra to him.
He never wears pants. I don't know how...
Daffy looks to be... He'd be like eating a loon. You know, like gristly and oily and... Daffy Duck, greatest cartoon character of all time in my estimation.
So?
Daffy Duck.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that guy brought humor to so many scenes. Just spectacular. Favorite cartoon character of all time.
If only Daffy the duck would get up, the ducks would just get back up if we hit them with our car.
If only they would just pick up their beak off the road, adjust it back on their face.
Stars around the head.
Yeah. Yeah. Daffy Duck, greatest cartoon character. Oh, he's a second banana. Oh, granted. It's like George Costanza. The show was not called Costanza. It's called Seinfeld. But Costanza was terrific. Anyway, we move on from London. Joining us, nutritional consultant Pam Killeen. Hello, Pam.
Hey, Tom. How are you today?
I am great.
Yeah.
When was the last time you had a good duck?
Oh, I know. I heard you talking. I was salivating while you were talking about the duck confit. That sounds amazing. It's all happening around a great time, too, because Time magazine is going to be coming out with our new front cover starting tomorrow. I think it's coming out on the newsstands, and it's going to be celebrating animal fat, saturated fat, the importance of saturated fat in the diet. So this is a major, major milestone.
And the amazing thing is 30 years ago, when we all worried about cholesterol and looking at dietary cholesterol as a source of heart disease, that has long since been dismissed. And
that's right.
And the bad things are now the good things. That the eggs and the bacon and the butter, which was like, it's awful, cut them out of your diet. 30 years later, it's like, nah, actually, it doesn't make any difference. You know what? The saturated fat that you mentioned, no difference in heart disease whatsoever.
That's right. In Time, back in 1984, demonized animal fat. The front cover showed two fried eggs and bacon turning down. So it was the opposite of a smiley face.
Yeah, the frowny face, as we describe it.
The frowny face. And so now they're doing a complete about face. I mean, it's taken 30 years to fix this problem, to get the truth out. And I was happy that you told me about Nina Tykolsa's book, The Big Fat Surprise. And it's really thanks to her book and thanks to even the Swedish government turning their food pyramid upside down. Now people can overcome their phobia over saturated fat and cholesterol. It's happening this year, Tom, and I'm so pleased to see this, because now this is the kind of information that is going to prevent not just Canada, but the United States and other countries around the world that have adopted this very unhealthy low-fat diet.
So you and Andy Udman down in London interviewed Nina Tykolsa, and it was her book, The Big Fat Surprise. And for those who haven't heard it, and you were able to talk to her directly, what inspired her book, and what is it? What does it contain? What's it about?
She was a food writer for, I think it was Gourmet magazine. And about 10 years ago, she started questioning the removal or reduction of animal fat in the diet. So she literally spent 10 years researching this book. And it is, I mean, there's 150 pages of references in this book. She has worked incredibly hard to disprove the low-fat theory. In other words, she's been working very hard to defend the importance of animal fat in the diet. And she's done a tremendous job. She goes into, it's like reading a thriller, Tom. Her book is like reading a thriller. You read the book and you just cannot believe the manipulations the deceit that was done to fool the public on this issue. It's really a fun, I can't recommend this book enough. It's absolutely brilliant. And every doctor out there, every nutritionist, every university needs to embrace this book, because we have a lot of other books out there that we have to start burning, Tom. Not a big fan of book burning, but in this case, I will be, because so much of the dietary information we've been given over the last 30, 40 years has led to a lot of misery, a lot of illness, a lot of cost in society. And we need to finally get the truth out so that we can get people's health back.
What sort of reception has she received? What sort of resistance? I imagine when, nutritionists or people who have vested interests in the food industry get told you're wrong, they don't take it easily or lying down. Oh, we're wrong. Okay, no problem. Well, we'll change our whole business model. I imagine she got a lot of resistance, and not just from, I imagine a lot of people in the food industry, from nutritionists to companies.
We're getting a lot of acceptance. I agree with you on the resistance issue, but I am absolutely in shock that many of the major players out there in the media are actually embracing her book, including Time Magazine. This is huge. The Economist, I think the Boston Herald, the Globe and Mail, all sorts of media outlets there today are actually saying she is correct, that they're seeing the light and they're stopping this mantra endorsing the high carbohydrate, low fat diet. I think some of the last people on this planet who are going to keep endorsing a high carbohydrate, low fat diet are going to be people like the USDA and Health Canada. They're probably going to hold on to this low fat lie for another 5 or 10 years. It's the public who are going to start embracing it first.
And we're starting to see that. And I know it is, for a lot of people, anecdotal in terms of it's one person. Although Nina tells from her point of view, she does all this research. But when people, for instance, when you share the story of a client, people are like, well, Pam, you had success. Or, well, with that person, maybe it worked. Or other people say, you know what? It really worked for me. Well, you're maybe the exception to the rule.
Yeah, but in the history of humankind, we never followed a low-fat diet, right? This food experiment is very new to humans, and it's not working. All you have to do is look around to see that. So before World War II, it was working, Tom, because before World War II, we got the vast majority of our calories from eating animal fat. You know, before World War II, we didn't have, you know, butter phobia, egg phobia, red meat phobia. We didn't have any of those types of phobias. And we were actually much healthier back then than we are today. So it's unfortunate that we actually have to do research to prove this, because our ancestors knew through wisdom that this was the way to eat. And of course, not only are you going to get more nutrition when you eat this way, but you're also going to, you know, do things like stabilize your blood sugar. And that's what is really instrumental in terms of keeping your mood and other health issues under control. So it's returning to those basic principles that we had before World War II, where we religiously sat down and ate a bacon and egg style breakfast and a meat and potato style a lunch and dinner. And we ate enough food and enough animal fat in that food throughout the day in order to nourish our bodies and keep our blood sugar in balance.
You'll be happy to know that one of my requests for Father's Day, I had a simple list, Pam.
Uh-huh.
Three things is what I wanted. I wanted coffee on the deck, which I enjoy just being in the morning, either wherever we are, coffee on the deck, a bacon sandwich, and peace and quiet. You'll be happy to know bacon sandwich was in there.
That's good.
Probably my favorite breakfast of all time.
Bacon sandwich. That's great. Did you have what's known as the bulletproof coffee, though?
No. Okay. We've talked about this because we talked about, remember the Los Angeles Lakers?
Yes.
Changed their diet. I mean, we had, even though he's not with the Lakers anymore, Dwight Howard's with the Houston Rockets. But here's a professional athlete. He makes 10 million plus a year, 12 million plus a year. And guys who are nutritional consultants, their dietary consultants, were shocked. They were like, he has the equivalent of like 24 chocolate bars a day in candy. This is ridiculous. And they totally got a lot of the Lakers to buy into a new diet to help them. They're like, listen, you got to get off the crap. We got to get you back on, you know, animal fats and better products. But bulletproof coffee, I was like, what is this bulletproof coffee? Was one of them. So when we come back, let's talk about bulletproof coffee, all right?
We can talk about that and fat bombs. We need to talk about fat bombs, too.
All right. Oh, and I got a fasting question for you.
Okay.
Only because, could it fit in
Researchers said that a three-day fast restarted the body's immune system. And they said, you know what, for people with compromised immune systems, it's doable and it's not that dangerous. But it's like a three-day fast really helped. They were like, oh my God, there's no downside. It actually helps. But people hear that and then they go all crazy. They'll fast every week and it's like, oh, right.
No. I don't recommend fasting. I don't know anybody really who's healthy enough to fast. You know, a couple thousand years ago, maybe we were healthy enough to fast because we had better food quality back then. But I really don't know anybody today who
really?
Can handle a fast. It's really, I think, a very unwise fad that's being promoted out there today.
All right, 18 minutes after 11 o'clock, we'll take a quick break. Come back. What is bulletproof coffee? We'll let you know next on 610 CKTV. Minutes after 11 o'clock, this is News Talk 610 CKTB. I think it was late fall, maybe early winter, when Pam and I shared an interesting story about the Los Angeles Lakers and how they redid their training table, and they didn't force athletes, but they convinced a lot of athletes. Steve Nash was one of them who fully believed in changing his diet and going to more of a high-fat, low-carb diet. And he said, you know what, and maybe not indication of the Lakers season. However, that may be an indication of other things. They really changed their diet and they transformed their diet. But one of the things they talked about was bulletproof coffee. And I was like, what the heck is bulletproof coffee?
Yeah, a lot of people are doing that these days. And it's in order to deliver more animal fat into the body, because people are understanding the health benefits of things like butter, coconut oil, these really healthy saturated fats. And so for people who drink these drinks, they really enjoy the taste. But they also enjoy the fact that they're getting that much more nutrition as well. So it's a really popular thing to do, is to drink these very, you know, fatty types of coffee, and even tea. People are doing it with tea as well. So they're adding things like butter. They're adding, coconut oil. They're adding potentially even some cinnamon or some nutmeg or something along that line to give it some extra flavor.
Well, wait
and
a second.
It's a really delicious way if you are drinking these types of hot beverages to enhance the taste of it, but also to get more nutrition out of it as well.
Okay, hold on a second. I have cream. I mean, I can add cream to my coffee.
Yeah, but here's the secret, Tom. Use 35%.
So I should be adding
the highest fat
whipping
cream out there.
Yeah.
And see the taste change there. It's delicious.
Okay, so what kind of butter, or is there a type of coconut oil I should, and how much? Do I put a tablespoon, a teaspoon, a drop, a dollop?
I think it's really just based on everybody's preference. The more the merrier, so to speak. So if you want to put a couple of tablespoons in there, that's
really
fine. A lot of people are doing other things to get more animal fat in the diet, and that's doing fat bombs. It's the same kind of idea. So they're making these little treats using lots of butter or coconut oil, or perhaps even a little almond butter in there, something like that, all meshed together, you know, so that they make sure that they get the flavor and the saturated fat from the butter or the coconut oil at the same time. So they're flavored. They're using maybe some, raw honey or some local maple syrup to sweeten these treats. But that's just another way, another delivery device to get more animal fat in the diet. I prefer things like high-fat cheese or fatty sausage. But other things I tell people about that are ways to increase your consumption of saturated fat, and these are really enjoyable ways to get the animal fat. But things like creme brulee, creme caramel, homemade ice cream. So the homemade ice cream would be made with things like high-fat cream or the fatty cream and the egg yolks. So you get tons of brain food by eating these treats, if you will. Like, a lot of people wouldn't perceive those as being healthy, but they really are, because they are loaded with animal fat.
One of the things we always call fish was always described as brain food. It was like, this is good for your brain. But it's brain food because of the amount of fat in it, wasn't it?
Well, fish is, it should be fatty.
Yeah.
It's got some, it's high in the omega-3s, which are crucial for the brain. But keep in mind that the omega-3s work with other fats in order to do things like make sure your cell membrane is well-structured, right? So it's not just about using omega-3s. Unfortunately, a lot of people lose sight of the fact that it's the medley of the fats occurring in the animal foods. That's truly what is healthy. And I think some people tend to like to isolate nutrients like omega-3s, but they really shouldn't, because the omega-3s should just be naturally occurring in the food, and we should be, eating these foods three times a day.
Is there a butter choice that I should be making? I mean, we're going to talk about buttered coffee, but you would like to see people eat more butter. What type? Salted, unsalted, organic? What am I looking for in a butter?
Well, unfortunately, where you live in the Niagara area, you don't have a lot of choice where you can get a lot of the farm fresh raw dairy products. It would be nice if some entrepreneur set up a farm fresh raw dairy operation in your area. They really unfortunately don't exist down there. So your next best thing is to go to a health food store and maybe get a certified organic butter. You're going to pay a little bit more for it, but it's going to have more nutrition in it than your commercial butters. If you can't get the a certified organic butter, then, you know, certainly just enjoy the commercial butter. I don't want anybody to feel any limitations in terms of doing this type of ancestral diet. I always tell my students, I always tell my clients, you're going to do the best you can with what you have available. So if you're buying commercial food, factory farm food, don't fret. I just want you to eat meals that are recognizable to somebody, say, back in the 1800s. So if you show somebody back in the 1800s, your breakfast, your lunch, and your dinner, they'll recognize everything on the plate, right? So whether that butter is certified organic or farm fresh raw or whatever the case may be, I just want people eating butter.
Final thing, a couple of weeks ago, University of Southern California did a study on fasting, and they found, forget what it does to body composition, they were like, that was not our goal. They found that a three-day fast kickstarted the body's immune system by getting rid of old or broken down cells in the immune system and restarted the amount of white blood cells and the immune system. They were like blown away by it. But then people are like, yeah, but I got to fast for 3 days. So that's one of the downsides is like, yeah, but you got to fast for 3 days. But then again, 3 days isn't that long. And forget body composition, because it's not designed to lose weight. It's not designed to trim the fat. It's not designed to get you into a bikini. It's designed to help your immune system. A totally different reason to fast. Have you, did you see the study? Have you heard anything about it?
No, I hear a lot about the fasting, intermittent fasting. I hear all sorts of stuff about fasting. I used to fast. I do not recommend it. And I know they're making a lot of wild claims there, but you know, I'd like to know what happens to their blood sugar after not eating for 3 days. I'd like to know what their mood is like. I'd like to know how their sleep is. I'd like to know if they still have a sex drive after starving themselves like that. You know, I just don't think it's that sustainable in terms of really, truly achieving your health goals. And if what they're looking at is the immune system, I can think of a lot better ways to get that immune system supported than by starving yourself for 3 days. You know, the animal fats, for example, are incredibly important for your immune system. Did the researchers consider that? You know, things like lacto-fermented foods are really important for your immune system. Things like raw sauerkraut, pickles, kefir, yogurt, you know, those types of foods. I would far rather people eat themselves into a good immune system than starve themselves into an alleged good immune system.
Pam Colleen, we got to leave it there. Always a pleasure. Are you enjoying the World Cup?
You know, I'm not much of a soccer fan, I have to say.
All right.
Tennis and golf.
Big tennis tournament. Wimbledon's coming up soon for you to get your tennis filled in.
That'll catch my attention right there.
All right. Take care. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Tom. You too. Take care. Bye.
28 minutes after 11 o'clock. Text message. I want to get this one text in. Hey, Tom, I agree. Daffy is awesome, but I think Foghorn Leghorn was a far superior comedian. I said, boy, that boy's sharp as a bowling ball. It's maybe my favorite line, other than
that woman's like the highway between Dallas and Fort Worth. No curves.
That may be one of the greatest lines. I said, boy, get over here, boy. What are you doing? I said, we gotta take a break. News is next. Fire, Robin, fire.